Random House Audio presents Dark Matter, The Private Life of Sir Isaac Newton by Philip Kerr. Read for you by Byron Jennings. I swore not to tell this story while Newton remained alive. On the morning of the 28th of March, 1727, Sir Isaac Newton having died some 8 days previously, I took a coach from my new lodgings in Maiden Lane, Covent Garden, with Dr. Samuel Clarke, who was Newton's friend and commentator, to the Abbey, to see Newton lie in state like some fabulous Greek hero. We found him in the Jerusalem Chamber, a great oak-paneled room with a large open fireplace that lies to the southwest of the Abbey, where there are some tapestries and stained glass ascribed to the period of Henry III, and marble busts of Henry IV and Henry V. It is said that Henry IV had a fit while praying one day in the Abbey and was carried into the Jerusalem chamber where he died, thus fulfilling the prophecy that he would die in Jerusalem. I cannot answer for whether the likeness of Henry was a good one, but Newton's embalmer had done his job well and not made the face up like a whore, which is a very common failing with these people. His flesh looked quite natural, being florid, soft, and full, as if the man had been only sleeping. Newton wore a full-bottomed flaxen wig, a plain white linen stock, and a black three-piece suit. His face was lined, somewhat heavy about the jowls, and despite a keen aquiline nose that had always put me in mind of the Roman, not unkind. I had thought I might have perceived in the air of his face some of the penetrating sagacity which had once distinguished his composures, perhaps even some final wisdom. But in death, Newton was a quite unremarkable-looking figure. "He was in great pain with the stone when he died," said I. "But still quite lucid," replied Dr. Clarke. "Aye, he was always that. Newton was the most lucid of souls. Newton looked upon all of creation as a riddle, with certain clues that were laid about this world by God. Or perhaps as a kind of cipher, which by great concentration of mind he might translate. I think he believed that a man who might decipher an earthly code might similarly fathom the heavenly one. He believed nothing unless he could prove it as a theorem or draw it as a diagram. Newton has given us the golden thread by which we may find our way through God's labyrinth," said Dr. Clarke. "Yes," I said, "perhaps that is right."